We do want to adjourn promptly at 10, so I suggest that we get the deliberations underway, anticipating that if I take 2 or 3 minutes here to orient the morning's work, that most of our colleagues will have arrived and be present for the presentation of the reports from these various policy planning sections. Let me say that due to the courtesy of Mr. Snedden, I have a number of complaint blanks here that I would be glad to make available to anyone who wants to make a complaint about anything. I was deeply appreciative of the fact that Mr. Snedden provided me with these complaint blanks. They are sizable, and you can write all kinds of it's not Brookings policy to invite complaints. But Mr. Snedden seemed to anticipate I was going to receive them, and he said, I want to help you out. He has a space here, rather small space, but he said, tell them to put whatever they have to say in there. That's what I tell them. All of you know Mr. Snedden, I'm sure. Well, we have had a very arduous exercise here together, and perhaps the headlines are right. We are sagging a bit. But I believe in intensive intellectual work when we set out on a major project such as this one. I do want to remind you that policy is a very beautiful thing, that when you get interested in it, it becomes sort of a fascinating experience. I do suggest to you that regardless of the policy planning process, that there are many things going on that are inevitably making policy for you. And I would hope that one of the products of a program like this might be to make you conscious of the policy-making process as it happens in your community, in your state. For instance, in the Daily News Miner from Fairbanks on Monday, there's a long editorial, Fairbanks must go pro to bring new business here. Fairbanks will have to take a more professional approach if it is to accomplish our goal of attracting new business and industry to the area in the coming year. And then there's a development of this and a mention of the trip to Calgary, and the statement is advocating a certain policy. Editorials are always policy. That's the whole point. To the editorial page is the first place we ought to turn. Really see what the policy is. Well, you get policy on the front pages too. Sometimes on the inside pages. In the morning paper, in the Daily News, here's a report that the mayor is back. He said, over in Tokyo, we met with 6 of the top trading companies and learned that 3 to 5 of them plan to open offices in Alaska next year. I feel at least 4 of them will open offices in Anchorage. And then we have a development of this theme. If you turn into the inside page, there's a story about Alaska Airlines hoping that by next summer it's going to have 11 flights to Siberia this coming tourist season. This morning when I was sitting there in the restaurant there up at the counter having my breakfast, I heard 3 people talking about going to Siberia this summer. Now, we are making decisions day by day, important decisions that are really deciding the issue that Mr. Dyckman put before you yesterday. Whether you're going to have an open door policy or whether you're going to have a restricted policy that attempts to restrain development and preserve the Alaskan lifestyle. So perhaps one of the products of a program like this is to make us conscious of the policy-making process as it goes on in our cities, in our towns, as it goes on in our state and in our country. Because policy is incremental. It's done often piece by piece. And rarely are there great policy or strategy decisions in which all these little pieces fall. So to some extent, your task here is to think of these large strategies and ask yourselves the extent to which policy decisions in your community and in your state fall within your structures of policy. The temptation's great to talk about what's happened here. I think all of you have participated in it, you've experienced this, and you know, each one of you, what it's meant to you, and you know what you can take away with you, and I trust that in these several intervening weeks, that reflecting upon what has happened will mean that you'll come back with new ideas and that you will be able to put them together in a more structured way. Perhaps what we've done together in these past 3 days is to put together some raw materials for policy formulation. More specifically, what we've done has been to put the premises of policy into place. Policy's got to have certain premises, and you put it into place, then we sort of know what the rules of the game are. If you're playing football, you got a field, and you have to stay within certain boundaries, and you have to do it a certain way. So perhaps we can begin to detect what the structure of policy might be here in Alaska. Not the particulars, but what the structure of policy might be, and we can begin to lay down the ground rules under which we will operate together in the course of these seminars, and then as you will operate in the months and years ahead as you make decisions that are affecting the development of Alaska. You have made history. For the first time since the founding of the nation, the citizens of a state, of a great state, have gathered together to generate policy, to generate a body of state policy. Now, you had a constitutional convention, and you did create a constitution. But creating constitution is something different from responding to the highly complicated kinds of conditions that confront you today. This has been a very complex task, and you've been Alaskans at work on an Alaska policy, and I want to accent that. What you have been doing is to put the premises into place for a body of Alaska policy. You're largely lay people, and you have been engaged in a highly political process. And you've worked hard, and you've worked well, and we've done what we could do in the amount of time that we've had together. And you've raised a lot of questions. Is Alaska to be a social welfare or a free enterprise state? How is Alaska to integrate all of its people, into some sort of an advanced economy? Is the $1 billion an end or the means to an end? And what is the end? What's the goal of the people of Alaska, for Alaska? What's the civic purpose of Fairbanks, or of Anchorage, or of Ketchikan, or of Nome, or of the state of Alaska? Are you anxious to maximize the development of the state, or do you want to keep its style of life? These are some of the questions, and you've detected them, and if you read your newspapers, let me say that we do send to all the people that we bring from the outside in here, we send some of your newspapers. If you read your newspapers, as we do from the outside, look, all through the pages we see that these are the questions that are being asked all over Alaska. These are exactly the same questions. If you read the paper, it's exactly the same questions. And that's why we believe it's important for 100 people representing the people of Alaska to come together and in some kind of an assembly here discuss and develop these ideas. It seems very important that this should happen. Now, As we've talked together in these past several weeks, I mean, these past, it seems like weeks, doesn't it? As we've talked together these past several weeks in preparation for this program, we have thought that there were two areas of policy that would receive a tremendous amount of attention, and I submit that they have. And one is the development of human resources here in Alaska. That is, and we're talking about all Alaskans, and not natives alone. We hope that the sessions these past several days would bring out that Alaska is having to move laterally into an advanced economy. Alaska is not back in the 1820s and 30s, and it's not in a position to evolve historically through stages of economical development. That is, there's a classical model that places are supposed to follow. You run through the extraction, and you run through the manufacturing, and the more sophisticated manufacturing on into the services and into what they call the advanced economies. Alaska is not going to be able to pursue that historical path of evolution of economy. Alaska is going to have to just slide laterally. That's a bad place to talk about sliding laterally, isn't it? Here in the earthquake country. But Alaska is going to have to slide laterally into an advanced economy. Now, this is what people all over the world have been trying to do. And this is what they've not been able to do because they cannot bring their people up far enough, fast enough, to make a lateral movement. Everybody still thinks that he goes through this time process. Alaska can't do it, impossible to do it. It's part of a very advanced economy, as we just noted here, and so it's got to make this move. So we thought that the development of human resources, so next session, which I think in many ways will be the most important session that the people of Alaska can possibly face, or the most, will produce the most important policy issues that the people of Alaska can possibly face. Next session is going to talk about the development of human resources in an advanced economy. And we'll have several people here from the outside and several people here from the inside. But it will be you and the kind of thinking that you've been doing, because you already been thinking about Alaska industry, native Alaska, all these articles that you see in your newspapers. They tell you what the task is, and they ask you, are you willing to set up? And I might mention, if you read the Fairbanks editorial a little bit further, it talks about what some of us may have been puzzled about. It talks about the infrastructure. It talks about all the infrastructure that Fairbanks is going to have if it's going to have development. So you have to ask yourself, what kind of infrastructure is Alaska going to have to make this, it's really a transformation. It's a transformation. You can Ghana or Taiwan or even Puerto Rico can actually think in terms of making this thing sort of slowly, and they can make it historically in the traditional way, but not Alaska. And you have to ask yourself. So it's not a matter of evolution. It's a matter of immediate transformation. All right, that's enough. That's what we want to talk about next time. I want to accent the fact that we'll meet 2 weeks from last Sunday. That is, we'll meet at 8 o'clock at the Westward Hotel in the Aleutian Room, and we'll begin our program at that time. We will have a presentation. We will take the papers that have been produced this time, and we'll break up into groups, and we'll have discussion. Next time, there'll be more accent on the policy planning sections, our sessions, and there'll be less presentation, but enough to give us the kind of a informational base so we can understand the problem. I emphasize that we're not dealing with the native issue per se. We're not dealing with that. We're dealing with the development of human resources for an advanced economy next time. And the people we're having here are people who are specialists in talking about that field. The second thing we identified was the evolution of the man-made environment. And that's our third seminar. To some extent, I wish we could stay away from our concerns for environment until we work our way through this most important policy area of human resources development. because we got to get structure and we got to get depth into these presentations. Now, this leads me here to this last point. I hope all of you can arrange your affairs to be present. At the Brookings Institution, as we work in this advanced study program, we recognize the tremendous sacrifice that you make to take part in a program of this kind. We count it a high privilege to work with you as individuals and to work with the state of Alaska in a program that's so significant. We know that you are the ones that sacrifice of your time and then you give of your monies. We are deeply appreciative of that. We believe that what you do here, because of your backgrounds and because of your experience, because of your particular position in the policy-making structure, we believe that this represents a significant graduate program. We think of this as a beyond the university level kind of a program, and so we do award a certificate from the Brookings Institution, which is a center for advanced studies. We award a certificate. It's written in letters of gold over the facade of our building that this is a center for advanced studies. And we award a certificate for those people who take part in our programs continuing way. So for all of you who do arrange your affairs to attend all of these sessions, we will award a certificate in association with. It's a very handsome certificate. It says in association with the University of Alaska. And I hope that all of you can continue your participation in this program because it is a continuing and it's a developmental thing. And now we've worked together and we have produced what I would like to say is the premises for policy, if nothing else. We're going to have the papers read by a person picked from within the group. If you have, I'll sort of act as chairman here, I guess, and if you have any dissents, you can make them. We're going to bring these, but we won't develop the dissents too far, because we're going to use these papers at the opening session next time, and you'll have an opportunity to talk a lot more about after you've reflected more upon them. But we'll give you an opportunity to state your dissent right now with anything that's said, so we can have it on the record. We're very grateful that we've got four individuals here who are willing to read these papers to you. I'll take the brunt of the attack, Mr. Cuddy, Mr. Rasmussen, Mr. Pomeroy, Mr. Reardon. You won't have to take it. And now let's hear from the chairman of the Alpha Group, Mr. D.H. Cuddy of Anchorage, who's going to read the report from that group.
First, let me say, Mr. Osman, that this is purely a report on what transpired in our meetings. It does not contain any decisions, no votes were taken, and it is merely the ideas that were presented and thrown around in our group. While complete agreement has not yet been reached, most of the discussion group Alpha concur that monies from both principal fund of $9 million and its interest should be used to solve urgent social and economic needs of the state. Though few priorities were attached to these needs, many definitive areas of concern were cited. Prominent among those was expansion and upgrading of economic facilities throughout the state. Of special concern were the following terms. There are practically no vocational training provisions, no kindergartens, and an inadequate secondary school system for rural Alaska. Urban enrollment outpaces existing physical plants, and only a low percentage of natives are college graduates. Additionally, many would like to see well-funded research institutes which would develop marine, forestry, and polar scientific applications, and which would set the pace for development in the north. A second important consideration covers the area of health and welfare needs. Discussing the first, we hear that medical services in rural areas are deficient. Problems of safe water supplies and inadequate waste disposal methods compound the situation. Additional problems center around mental health needs, alcoholic rehabilitation, drug misuse, and shortcomings in preventive medicine practices. Expanded hospital or clinical services were also discussed. The answer for rural Alaska, some felt, might be in mobile medical and dental teams. The matter of general welfare, the concept of a minimum living standard was explored. Roughly, this would mean adequate housing, food, power, and communications for all families. Disagreement exists regarding the establishment of such standards, however. The idea of regional, local, or individual options may be an alternative. Another course would see FHA loans and matching funds utilized for community improvement projects or regional programs. Other general welfare programs might provide for the facilities for unwed mothers and problem children. Better programs for child care and economic relief to the elderly were considered. Currently, many of these programs are supported by financial institutions which are struggling under increased financial burdens. An enlarged and improved transportation network is one of the more priority considerations. More and better roads seem to be generally desired. Appropriate evaluation should be made for increased ferry systems and a dry dock service. A similar evaluation of air transport facilities might be in order. Rehabilitation of the fishing industry, combining research and special development procedures, is needed. Also, protection of the state fisheries resources by extension of coastal plains is required. The subject of industry encouragement brought caution from some members. Most felt that unless monitored, heavy industrialization might create an unfavorable impact on the state. There was a question as to whether the industrial growth and the Alaska way of life could be compatible. The Alaska way of life was defined as a style that affords the convenience of technological innovations combined with the opportunity and values of living as close to nature as possible. Most agreed that well-enforced, proper regulations could achieve that compatibility. A minority urged industry incentive programs, although no priority was established here. Some felt that industrial activities will improve the unemployment picture, while others feel it will not. More attention should be given to the management of renewable resource, natural resources. Perhaps certain development programs are in order. Special needs in the conservation area appear to be of a wide concern. Now that Alaska no longer is a poor state, it was felt that the state should utilize its land selection program to choose land with long-range aims of creating a state park system, adequate recreation areas, and other goals while continue to selecting its land for commercial value. A call for full-time paid legislators was made. Indications are that more and more time is demanded of current part-time legislators who find it difficult to handle both legislative activities and personal careers. Lack of a staff assistant, committee inputs, and travel funds are a further complication. Most agreed that the funds for staff work, travel, and communications should be appropriated soon. However, some felt that part-time legislators are more responsive. One discussion member presented the idea of conducting legislative sessions in different parts of the state. The concept of a trust fund using a large part of monies received some discussion. Primarily, the trust would be designated for the benefit of future generations. One objection indicated that the state's constitution forbids assignment of special funds in perpetuity. Further comments suggested advisory boards be created to assist in the use of funds. Several asserted that advisory boards are not as responsive as the legislators. A segment of the group disapproved of any use of the $900 million principle, feeling that this would lead to ultimate dissipation of that amount. Bonus money should be utilized to maximum returns to the state and the people as a whole. In this regard, it was agreed that the state ought not to enter into the banking business, that existing private systems be relied upon. Also, existing collateral regulations should be altered so as to make possible for banks to receive state funds in a manner which would make long-term loans possible. At issue also was the question of bank profits from such loans. Some agreed that banks should be given the opportunity to follow traditional methods to the end that existing interest levels should be reduced. If this does not occur, then suggested guidelines might be set forth and appropriate controls established. General consensus was reached on the matter of taxation was as follows, that a cautious approach be assumed toward the reduction of taxes. Possible elimination of small nuisance taxes and a regressive business gross business tax may be positive steps. And revenue sharing with political subdivisions might help to reduce tax burdens on individual citizens. Members of the editorial team and policy planning chairman agreed that deliberations of policies at this point may be premature.
Thank you, Mr. Cuddy. Let me suggest that you make some notes and that we hold our discussion of these papers until we get all of these before us. I trust this will be acceptable to you as a way of getting at this presentation this morning. And now, Mr. Elmer Rasmussen, who is chairman for the Beta Group.
I think the fact that there are two bankers reporting in a row shows the importance of the service industry in Alaska. The excellence of the diction in this report of Beta Group is entirely due to Herb Adams. Continuing the Alaska lifestyles was the ideal goal of participants in Seminar Beta. Most felt that careful and schooled use of the oil resource wealth would excite this lifestyle, adding a new dimension of opportunity. And it is this opportunity that gives Alaskans a unique choice. They can now, without doubt, build the mold for the future shape of the state. There were two human elements apparent in the conference. First, the initial first-day reactions to the subject matter, to the other people in the conference, to the way the workshop was being conducted. And second, the second reaction when the process of the conference itself began to boggle our minds. Just the idea of defining the Alaska lifestyles throughout the limited view of our own frames of reference was at first appalling. But slowly, almost as if there were some outside power at work, the thinking began to take a new shape, and Seminar Beta went to work. What is it that we want Alaska to be like? Mostly members of the workshop want Alaska to remain much the way she is today. They wish to preserve their own lifestyles, recognizing that the quality of life in Alaska is unique. They wish to set up safeguards or programs that will maintain this quality and enhance its value. But Alaska can be defined in thousands of different ways, depending upon the background of the speaker and his home region. Even languages differ among the native groups, adding further difficulties to the massive problems of communications. Seminar Beta members attempted, within a hovering circle of the conference, to establish policy that would affect the future use of oil wealth, and in so doing begin to shape the pattern for lifestyles in the future, 1980 and beyond. But even the impact of millions of dollars in spendable revenues readily available will not in itself overcome Alaska's problems. The program, if it is to surface with any success, must be daring, and it must be willing to take new looks at old paths. For instance, the group felt that the settlement of native land claims will not write the end to poverty among native people. Rather, it will be a beginning that will take many years to have a total effect. But the objectives of the seminar, Financial Foundations for Future Alaska, can be achieved by proper utilization of our oil revenue in a balanced investment in both our capital and economic development. An assumption of isolating the bonus money allowed the following discussion and deliberation. The $900 million bonus windfall and subsequent revenues was aimed at three major investment areas. A, investment to bring the greatest monetary return to the state. B, investment in the development of the natural resources. C, investment in human resources. Plan A was favored by those who felt that non-recurring bonus receipts are a trust, and it is their yield that can be used to fund other investment areas. Plan B looks ahead to the day when oil revenues decline and other new resources will be needed to maintain a viable economy. And although Plan C cannot easily be translated into financial terms, perhaps it offers the greatest net return to the state. Still working in broad strokes, the seminar members urged, one, a research survey program, and two, offer the following breakdown of ingredients. Under regional surveys, identified five: health, education, welfare, land classification, communication, economics, cultural. Second, statewide surveys plan to coordinate regional surveys. Three, establish continuing seminar programs for considering priority items. Four, estimate date of receipt and amounts of oil royalties, taxes, and other expected state income and determine priority. And finally, the workshop members expressed a faith in the continuing conversation of the conference entity. However, it was suggested that this was the first session of a four-session conference, and even the ideas expressed here may change as participants react to the continuing stimulation of the conference process. Although the ideas are not categorized in neat stacks, the members of this workshop have experienced a new searching, a reaching out, often painful, in the effort to begin to begin. Now, you'll notice that we have attached an appendix, and we did that because we wanted to get into the written record the various topics that were discussed, but under the admonition that we stated in our last paragraph, we did not feel that we were in a position to express a finality or a consensus on them. I'll just read them briefly, because it is part of the report. A flexible land classification or resource zoning program designed to grow with the needs of people. Environmental controls, including safeguards against air, water, and noise pollution. The seminar took a cautious approach to a program of investment in selected industry. The state's fishing industry was described as an area of important needs. To upgrade the value of Alaska's educational system and broaden its influence, particularly in rural areas. A program whereby the state could help build community facilities, such as water, power, sewer systems, and so forth. Upgrade living conditions in rural areas. Minimize unemployment. Encourage industrialization peculiar to Alaska. Provide more technical services to native villages. Deal with unmet social needs such as in mental health and alcoholism. Provide developmental loan funds. Development of native crafts industry. State support of local bonds. Direct revenue sharing with local governments. Statewide communications and transportation. Elimination of business license tax and school tax. Consider a state sales tax in lieu of local sales tax. Review necessity of further issuances of state general obligation bonds. Perpetuate the corpus of the $900 million bonus receipts and subsequent revenue. Dedicate all revenues from non-renewable resources. And as I read those through, I can safely say that there were at least an equal number of other points that were at least brought up for discussion.
Thank you, Mr. Rasmussen. And now Jim Reardon will report for Group Gamma. Jim's from Homer, aren't you?
Right. One of the outlying areas.
Yes, sir.
Small village.
I've been there.
The reporting committee for Gamma Group decided that we needed a slogan, Great Aims Move Mighty Alaska. Perhaps this is responsible for the 5 pages of the longest report of the group. Matters brought up at this group's first session proved to be the basis of subsequent discussion. Succeeding discussions were an intensification of these basics, with the only really new material surfacing in the latter part of Tuesday afternoon's talks. Certain attitudes were notable and could be observed throughout. All talks were characterized by unselfishness. That is, no one used the occasion to more than introduce a pet project, nor did anyone beat a loud regional drum. Speakers concerned themselves with many broad aspects of the state, and confidence in Alaska and Alaskans' ability to find their way was prevalent. The hard dollar and cent values were not the only considerations of the group in investment matters, as they recognized values not measurable in the usual quantitative manner. Satisfactions of life are not always in terms of how many dollars income, was one statement. There was strong feeling voiced many times that whatever happened, the method should preserve individuality and freedom of choice as much as possible. There should be personal ownership, but with responsibility to the whole. Other overall attitudes which emerged included the belief that whatever program was adopted, it should meet short and long-range needs and be flexible to respond to changing conditions. It was also obvious that no one in the group expected Alaska should have a free ride. That is, they felt they, and by implication others, should pay their way. Specifics of this were not pinned down, although there were allusions to innovative programs other than usual job pay system. Also, that present Alaskans are trustees of the benefits visited upon us and have responsibility to follow through on methods and projects for wise use. The group recognized certain values now present as important and often were explicit on this subject. Primary among these values was a regard for the environment and protecting it, as well as keeping a certain quality of life in Alaska, which all present found vital. A brainstorming session gave these qualities of what was meant: scenic beauty, unspoiled wilderness, limited population inflow, freedom, no crowding, right to participate, independence, ability to escape bonds of poverty, grandeur, serenity, vigorous work, good place to raise kids, show place for the world. In reverse, by the same method, the group indicated these things are not wanted: cluttered highways, traffic congestion, pollution of any kind, poor schools, too many people, poverty, over-exploitation of natural resources, stateside exploitation, colonialism, restrictions on individuals, high cost of living, racial problems, slums, and urban sprawl. The group was aware of the contradictions and said that even without oil, the goals and desires would be the same. The new wealth would make it possible to enhance the values and do it faster. Another strongly voiced belief was that benefits from the money, bonus sale, and future royalties should be for all Alaskans, present and future. There was also general agreement that the now problem should be addressed as well as long-range ones, and that investing in solutions to present problems would aid future conditions. The group took no position about use of capital versus interest only, but approach to now need suggested that what was required should be used in best interest of state. Speakers were aware of many of Alaska's unique characteristics and felt they should be both considered and used to advantage where applicable. Regional differences should be recognized in any investment plans, as well as the social aspects of the various parts of the state. The potential in our own people should be encouraged. Creative approaches in many areas were urged, not necessarily standard ones, and generalization should be avoided. But uncertainty was expressed in approaching need without putting work in the picture. The cultural values should be treasured, and stimulation of other cultures should be part of the future planning. An area of need mentioned most often, indeed it seemed to underlie most other discussions, was for education. Many kinds and offered in various ways were mentioned: vocational, adult, fisheries, and oceanography, and with special emphasis on rural schools. It was reiterated that schools near natives' homes were important, at least through high school, when family relationships are important. It was suggested that such schools would also foster leadership for villages and assist them to realize their potentials. One speaker stated it thus: an adequate opportunity for education for all individual Alaskan residents without undue interruption of family life and without the desires of the local community, within the desires of the local community and or local government entity responsible for education. almost co-important and often intertwined with education, the group said, were communication and transportation networks. This trio, it was felt, would assist in generating economic activity in remote places not now able to join in the swim. Airports were also mentioned in needs, as well as housing. Other needs tied in with investment opportunities were in encouraging replenishment of renewable resources, possibly from non-renewable resource income, particularly the fisheries. Persons expert in this field said Alaska's fisheries had greatest potential for growth if certain structural changes were used to put them in competition with fisheries of other Pacific nations. Investment opportunities and other present Alaskan business included the red meat industry, reindeer, possibly other, and grazing lands to grow other meats for this. Subsidies were considered and not discarded. The thoughtful remarks give reason to think it warrants further discussion. There is no big push for industrialization as such, but interest in industry was not lacking. There were several worries or fears among the group. These included concern over pressures to hit state, both through increasing population and by interests wanting special treatment not in the state's best interest. Economic development of some kind seemed desirable, but the type of economy, and quote, it would be idiocy for Alaska to go industrialization route, said one, and locale of industry were matters the group would want to consider carefully. There's belief in natural resource management and wariness of protectionism policies. They worried about Alaskans not getting benefits from resource exploitation and wanted expert advice about inflation dangers in an investment program. Question, will investment in Alaska's environment be competitive on the national level in Tusing terms? The group chorused yes and spoke of both direct and indirect returns. Revenue sharing by the state with local communities seemed favored by all, with the formula providing for the most possible local control of how money was to be used. This need for people to choose their own goals, way of life, amount of education, was repeated in many ways. Yet population management, apparently, people from outside, was not cast out completely. No one opted for outright divvying of the money. If we do that, do we give anyone more than a chance to spend it, was asked. In matters of structure and process, the group seemed mostly to feel that available tools, the state's government structure, were adequate for most part to handle the money and money's use, but would require considerable fleshing out and strengthening. Advice from expert and specialists should be sought. The group was reluctant to add another bureaucracy, as it viewed a trust, to the government structure and felt the check and balance of government departments was important. They were willing to risk the change in direction of changing administrations for the opportunity to keep more direct control of the spending agents. Close rapport between people and the government was felt to be a must, even without the additional money problems. A strong and active information program was urged between the people and the government, including the legislature, to keep it responsive to the people. It is felt the seminar was a good indication of legislative concern. In the structure discussion, it was suggested, without arousing an uproar, that we should look into changing some aspects of our government structure towards certain socialistic methods. Some felt the state was not competent to develop a program for jobs, that outside expertise would be needed. In other areas, however, it was urged that local experts be given attention and that accumulated knowledge of long-timers should be tapped. A participant summarized the session thus. There are plenty of details, but the basic point is we're going to invest in Alaska, its people and its physical aspects. In people, through education, health, and well-being opportunities, and in the physical, through aesthetics and their preservation and natural resources, using the non-renewable in the best interest of the state, both economically and environmentally. And the reporting group, would like very much to commend Warren Ziegler for his enthusiasm and for doing an excellent job in leading the discussion. And of course, it's obvious that the editorship of Betsy Woodman was also outstanding. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Reardon. And now, Mr. Harold Pomeroy of Soldotna is going to report for the Delta section. I would like to say this about Harold. I met him a couple of weeks ago, but his brother, who was one of the distinguished men in the field of urbanization in this country, and in fact in the world, an international figure, was a very close friend of mine and a neighbor of mine when I lived in Westchester County outside New York. It was a real pleasure to meet Harold after I had known his brother so well.
Thank you for those words concerning Hugh, Mr. Osman. Delta's report is the shortest. Perhaps unwisely, I was given the liberty of enlarging a little bit on it. Seems to me that it is worth a while to have a participant be a voice for just a minute or two concerning what one senses. I find that it is sobering to be confronted with the obligation of attempting to think and act and write concerning the huge problems with which our legislature will soon be concerned. And I think we should all remind ourselves that our job is one to try to help the legislative and the executive branch in the undertaking that we have for all Alaskans. I find it quite tiring to have to ventilate some of my prejudices and to abandon some sacred cows and subject myself to the sharp prodding of a lot of new facts. And after all, this is what actually went through all of our discussions. With respect to the report, I will take the liberty of reading and then adding two or three things. With respect to trusts, the position was the same as Gamma. The belief was that trusts are probably not needed. It would be another instrument off to one side. And it was noted that whether or not trusts are established, we must recognize that we're the trustee for the future of Alaska. And then, most important, though only in one sentence, is that expenditure should be made only in accordance with comprehensive long-range plans. This meant expenditures from the bonus revenue principle. There was a good deal of consideration given to that subject. And then there follows right from that that there was a thread through all our discussion of a concern over the lack of plans as guides to start with. I was reminded of a Zelnick interview of the Legislative Council Chairman Gene Guest, the last paragraph of which says, and this was just a few weeks ago, as Guest said, quote, "We have never had a strong planning department in this state under any administration. What we are doing now is having to force 10 years of planning," unquote. And we felt very strongly about that in the group, that we had so little to go on, as well as having this session here being just a start with a half step toward putting something on paper. And so we go on with the report. The state must have an adequately financed and professionally staffed nonpartisan organization for the continuing function of basic planning. This planning should include finances, social needs, land and resources, conservation, economic development, and other elements of the total structure of Alaska. The function will provide the legislature with an uninterrupted flow of data and conclusions as the basis for implementation of orderly, well-balanced programs to serve the well-being of all Alaskans. And of course, that ties right back into the question of expenditure of funds. Planning should take into account striking regional differences with particular attention to maximum local participation. And this was directed especially to the proposition that out in the underdeveloped areas, if that is a proper term, we have so little participation in our public activities. And that leads right then to the question of the education system, on which there was a great deal said and a great many things put down, and the question was, well, we're going to put down either too much or too little. And it was concluded that in subsequent sessions there would be a lot of attention given to education, but we would simply say that this section recommends an upgrading of the educational program at all levels, and there was particular consideration given to the question of
the assumption of jurisdiction over the schools now under BIA and getting on with a program of upgrading that educational program. It is also recommended that a program of comprehensive health planning be undertaken. And this, again, was a result of a great deal of discussion and the thought that subsequently there would be the developing of programs to which to address ourselves. The section also recommends that it is necessary to bring strong elements into Alaska's resource economy to replace the exhaustible resources. To do this, it is essential that significant portions of the revenues derived from these extractive resources be utilized to develop renewable resources. And there was particular attention given to the great return that can come from development of outdoor recreation resources, resources from the sea and others, as a means of building revenue for the future, as well as services to the people in outdoor recreation as the extractive resources begin to be exhausted. This section recognizes that the ultimate purpose of industrial development must be the elevation of human resources aimed at improving the quality of living and the well-being of all the people. Industrial development which serves this purpose should be encouraged. And that, again, is just a beginning statement which relates to the subject that was discussed at some length of industrial development at any cost not being merited. Delta Study Section strongly recommends an appropriation from the State General Fund to be used for developing a positive state position on the timely settlement of the Alaska Native land claims directed toward an equitable settlement for all Alaskans. And this was a result of considerable discussion and a recognition of a problem we all face as Alaskans, which comes in the next paragraph. On the subject of native land claims, the question of some position statement was raised. A minority opinion was that this is not a proper subject for this seminar program. The view of the majority was that policies and programs for the future of Alaska would be incomplete until settlement of the native land claims. Following this, the majority took the position that, if possible, the Brookings Institution should provide the members with information on the subject before the next seminar, with a view to the matter being considered. And the group did not go any further, but felt quite strongly that we simply cannot be complete in our planning and in our programs without this problem of native land claims being settled. The danger of inflationary effects on the economy, which may be companion to investment and appropriation policy, was recognized as a potential problem which should be subject to a formal means of continuing fiscal control. In light of the vast impact of the public sector on the development of Alaska, steps should be taken to improve public management, including the elective systems, to achieve greater responsiveness to the public interest rather than to pressure groups. Specific recommendations on this subject will be considered by the section in future seminars, and this was directed particularly to the problem of are we going to be inundated with great political pressures. And now, if I may take the liberty, I'd like to comment on the word infrastructure for just a moment. We talked about it and threw it around a very great deal, and finally one member wanted to know what it meant. We weren't quite sure we knew, but I think I can give it to you by illustration. There was a little town out in the Yukon Valley at one time, a number of years ago. Dr. Defoe told me of this, and they had one of the little one-room schools, one of these where if you have eight children, you can have a school, and finally they achieved some progress in their infrastructure. They were going to have oil heat and not have to use wood any longer, and the great day came, and they put in their oil heater. And then there was nothing for the woodcutter to do, and he had to leave with his six children, and they had to close the school. And so the infrastructure and the economy went to hell all at once. Professor Thompson, maybe we better just do like you said about Anchorage and let it take care of itself. Thank you.